May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I don't know if the bird is still in the house. Does anybody know? Oh, if he swoops down, it'll keep us awake. Okay. When I read through the lessons, I think what really grasped my imagination, but also my heart, especially with the last month, and I have to say I appreciate everybody's love, everybody's hearts to my mom. I felt so like hugged by the church, my family, and by God that the word that stuck out to me was household. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love. And that's what we are. Are we perfect? No. But we are trying to be faithful to our Lord and each other, and we're trying to learn how to love like our Lord. Love Him, love ourselves, and love others. And the only way we can do this, and it says it, we prayed it this morning, is that through your grace, and that's the strength of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And that happens today for Katrina and for Katie. The Holy Spirit is going to dwell in them forever. Nothing can ever take the Holy Spirit away from them or away from us. Now let's get back to household. What is a household? What do we think of when we think of a household? Of course, we think of our homes, the four walls, but then we go beyond that. A household, it's the people that are inside of it. And not only inside the household, but you know when families go all over the place, even if it's for a short time or a long time, it's everywhere. When they go to school, when they go to work, when they go to college, when some go to the military, when some are at hospitals, you know, all over the place. When you're in school, even at recess, or during summertime or wintertime, when you're on vacation, the household is extended, and the household is still in our hearts, in our souls, and in our minds, and under the protection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our household. And that gives us comfort. And when we think of a household, what else do we think about? We rest there. We can rest in church within God's loving arms, basically sitting on His lap like He was our daddy, letting Him comfort us. We have peace. We have security. We get to eat. We get to have some fun and play. We get strength. We're encouraged. We're nourished in our hearts, our souls, and our bodies, and our minds. That is the household of God, and that is how each of our households are to be. And it extends forever and ever and ever. And Jesus' promise is, it's for eternity. It never ends. It never ends. And so when we read in Ezekiel, we also learn a couple of other things. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a spread. So we know that God is personally involved. He's not aloof. He's not distant. He's involved. He's going to take a sprig and plant it and make it grow. And we're the little sprigs. We're the little sprigs that are going to sprout out for the Lord. And we become households and protect others, nourish others, encourage others, accept others, be forgiving and loving and sharing Jesus' gospel. And that's what we're about. All of us. And then in Mark, it's the same idea. It is like a mustard seed. Jesus is comparing heaven. He's telling a story. He's telling a parable. He's trying to say, heaven is like a mustard seed. Has anybody ever seen a mustard seed? They're tiny. Tiny, tiny seeds, and they become a huge shrub. And what happens if you have a tree? What do they tell us to do when we have our Christmas tree? Throw them outside, and what does it do? It houses little animals, the trees, the bunnies, the squirrels during during wintertime. It's a safe haven, and that's what the mustard seed does. It becomes a huge tree, and it houses all of the birds in the air and the other animals and keeps them protected. That's what our church is. That's what our God is. And it's our ministry. It's our, hopefully, our will to be similar to God's will. It's supposed to be the same. And be nourishing to one another. Be a household. So we're spread. We're planted by God. And then we bloom. We're to bear fruit. That's what we're all about. And to do it in love. Now today, it's all about bearing fruit. It's about baptism. You can't get any better than having a baptism as far as bearing fruit. And Mary Jane, where is Mary? There you are. She's going to kill me. But, oh well. She started, how long ago? About 15 years ago, 12 years ago, coming to this church, but as a babysitter. Just as a babysitter downstairs. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way, but that's where it started. We needed her. We needed a babysitter. And what's happened? Her faith grew. She became interested by meeting everybody downstairs, and it grew. And then her family got interested, and it grew. And she's brought a lot of her family many, many, many Sundays. And today, what? We've got two of her adopted daughters, Katrina and Caitlin, and they're going to be baptized today. So Mary Jane was planted. She's a little sprig. And she blossomed and grew and bore fruit for the Lord. And then each one of her family members are able to do the same. And each one of us is able to do the same. But we have to say yes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So baptism today, you couldn't get better. In Corinthians, St. Paul says, we make it our aim to please Him. So by baptizing, and all of us are baptizing Katrina and Katie today, but who does that please? It pleases God. It pleases our Lord. And we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, at the end of Corinthians, St. Paul's letter, the last line in today's lesson says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See? Everything has become new. When Katrina and Caitlin are baptized today, they are made new. When we repeat our baptismal vows, our baptismal covenant, we have communion and we are united with Christ in that Holy Communion and in this baptism, we are made new by Christ, each and every one of us. Now what I'd like to do is end with this one Bible verse, and it is one of my favorites. And it's one of those that kind of cheers me up. It's Philippians. So if you want to read it during the week, it's Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen.